Well, happy Easter. Welcome, First Friends Church. We are glad that you are with us today for Resurrection Sunday. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. And so we're going to kick things off by singing a couple songs with a little resurrection theme to them. Wherever you are today, we invite you to sing along.
Amen. He came out of his grave and he called us out of our graves. He's sharing his resurrection with us that we may be free from sin and death. Praise the Lord. Let's sing. Let's lift our voices together. I was buried.
I was buried beneath my shame. Was my tomb till I met you.
I was breathing,
but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met.
You call my name,
and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of glorious day.
Hallelujah. Your mercy has saved me.
Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know.
The old man knew. Jesus, when I met you,
you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of
we can all have rescue. All we have to do is accept that offer to live in a life of grace and freedom. I needed rescue.
I needed a rescue. My sin was heavy. The chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open. 'Cause when you called my name, I ran. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name, and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Christ the Lord, he's risen.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say, hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Hallelujah. Sing ye hymns and
lives again.
Lives again, our glorious King. Hallelujah. Where, O death, is not our sting. Hallelujah. Dying once, He all doth say. Hallelujah. Where thy victory, O
work is done.
Love's redeeming work is done. Hallelujah. Father, by the battle won. Hallelujah. Death in vain forbids it rise. Hallelujah. Christ has opened paradise.
Follow Christ.
So we now where Christ has led. Hallelujah. Following our exalted head. Hallelujah.
Made like Him, like Him we rise.
Hallelujah. Eyes across the greater skies.
Amen. We were dead in sin, but we are resurrected to life with Christ because of what He did for us. Amen. Hallelujah.
This morning we are celebrating the pinnacle of that story of Jesus with His resurrection. So let's do it one more time. He is risen.
He's risen indeed.
Amen, my Amen. Friend. So we have a couple announcements or so to send your way. The first one is just a reminder about our e-connections that are available during the week. We have a schedule. It's all over social media. But you can tune in with us not only on Sundays, but throughout the week for devotionals and music. There's stuff for kids. There's a lot of stuff out there. We're trying to stay connected in this digital world during the time of social distancing. And it's been great so far. But we invite you, come on out and join us.
Yes, indeed, and thank you for your generosity, your continued faithfulness. Those of you who have gone into the online giving, we thank you. Those of you who have been using the mail, the good old USPS, that's been very helpful as well. So you can continue to do that. If you need help setting up online giving, give us a call or send us an email. We can definitely help you out there. But thank you for your continued giving during this time.
We have had a couple of people contact us about Easter flowers because we invited you to order Easter flowers before this entire pandemic hit and changed everything drastically. So the plan as of now is this. When we get together in person here in this room, and I cannot wait for this room to be filled up again. But when that day happens, whatever day it happens to land on in the future, we are going to celebrate Easter 2.0.
That's the plan.
You get two Easters in 1 year. So we're going to celebrate Easter again, the choir, the cantata, the whole thing. And our hope is to work with our supplier to have those Easter flowers ready for that day when we celebrate Easter here together. So that's the plan. So we're holding on to all of that and hoping that all moves forward that way into the future.
Of course, there's a lot of moving pieces, but that's our goal at this point. So hopefully, the Lord willing, that can all happen. And our last announcement is more of a really, really fun thing to share with you. This guy had an idea. What if we invited our church to send in 5-second greeting videos so that we could see each other and all say hello, happy Easter to one another? And we realized that this wasn't going to be feasible for absolutely 100%, but we wanted to get as many as possible. And so many of you were able to do that, and this is impossible to watch without smiling.
Oh.
And I was almost brought to tears once or twice while I was editing, just because it's just so wonderful to see your faces and to be reminded of this community. So, take a look.
Happy Easter, First Friends Church, from Ted and Carolyn Morales.
Happy Easter.
Hi, this is Wilbur Kurtz. I'm 93 today. Happy Easter, everybody. I love you.
Happy Easter from the greats.
He is risen. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter from Matt.
Happy Resurrection Day from the Colises.
Happy Easter from the Bales family.
My name is Howard, and this is Bella. And we're not 6 feet away, but we still like to wish everyone a happy Easter from the Summers family.
Happy Easter from the Wileys.
Good morning, Salem First Friends Church. From Charles and Amy Erickson. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter from Anna Martin and Jennifer Martin Carroll, Kathleen Carroll, and Christina Carroll.
A big Easter hug from the Sambitas.
Happy Easter from the Weikerts.
This is Karen, and just wanted to wish you a happy Easter. Love you guys. Miss all of you. Can't wait till we can all be together. This is Sadie also. She's saying hello. Happy Easter, guys.
Happy Easter.
From Lynn and Rick Finch.
Happy Easter, boys and girls. From Lamb Chops. And Lynn, happy Easter.
Hello, everyone. From the Johnsons and Kobe Miller. Happy Easter. We miss you all.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter from Marissa and Sadie.
Happy Easter to the First Friends Church from the Dice family.
We miss y'all.
Easter greetings, friends. Have you heard?
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Happy Easter from the Rays.
Happy Easter from the Cedar Blooms.
Happy Easter
from the McKinneys. Christ is risen.
You guys, the tomb is empty.
What?
No way.
Yahweh.
Happy Easter.
Easter.
Happy Easter.
Easter, everyone, from the concerts.
Easter greetings from Bob and Marcia.
Happy Easter from Ray and Linda Sepernick. He is risen.
Happy Easter from the Blacks.
Happy Easter from the Woolmans.
Blessings on your Easter
from Dawn and Bonnie Carter.
Happy Easter to our First Friends family
from Bob and Mindy Steer.
Happy Easter
from John and Marty Sowash.
From the Russells.
Happy Easter. Happy Easter, Church.
From Rod and Sue Wilson.
He has risen. Hallelujah. That changes everything.
Amen.
Happy Easter from
Linda
and Brian Russell.
Happy Easter from Rhonda and Becky.
Happy Easter, everyone, from the Molnars.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
Happy Easter from Mike and Beth.
Happy Easter.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Happy Easter, first friends. We love you and we miss you. God is good. Bye-bye.
Bye. Love you.
Happy Easter.
From the winds.
Happy Easter. Love the bike boys.
Happy Easter from the Masons.
Happy Easter, first friends, Truth is Avery.
Happy Easter from the Concerts.
Happy Easter, first friends.
From the Fowlers.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter from Jerry and Betty.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
From the Thomases.
I'm looking up here, and I'm supposed to be looking there because I just forgot what we had to say. All of
it's four words.
Oh man, that was incredible. I was not ready for all the feels that was going to come with the people and the Happy Easter and some of you guys preaching for me this morning. I appreciate it. That was phenomenal.
And a 93rd birthday to boot.
Oh, the icing on the cake right there.
Pretty awesome.
Thank you for all your hard work and putting that together, sir.
Sure. Thank you all for being a part of that. We're going to continue to worship. We're going to sing about the great things that the Lord has done, including leaving the tomb empty and giving that gift to you and me. So let's lift our voices and thank him. Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. Hallelujah. Let's see. See what our Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. He has done great things. Yes, he has. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. Hey! You've been faithful. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things. And I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. God, you do great things. For hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. For Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. Let's sing hallelujah. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. Have done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things, blessing your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things, you have done great things, oh God.
Amen. He's done great things.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know that river, I'll fight life's final war with pain, and then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the
today, Jesus, we celebrate your resurrection. We know that our lives can have meaning and fullness and purpose and eternity because of who you are and what you have done. And today we celebrate that day when you left the tomb empty, when you left the grave behind, when you inaugurated your new kingdom. And today we are honored and privileged to live within it, to count you as our King, our crucified King. But today we celebrate you as our risen King. We pray all these things today, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen. And the last thing we want to do, actually a little different this morning before we get to our message time, is get the choir involved. And no, we're not inviting the choir to all come onto the stage and cram in and sing, but we did want to share a choir song that they shared with us about a month ago, as it is perfect for the occasion. And it's also a teaser for their Easter cantata, which I have not given up hope on. So we're going to share this song with you this morning, and we're also going to share some art that we were able to find that is just a perfect way to add another element to our Easter worship experience this morning, worshiping through visual art and this song. So let's worship together.
When I look back at what I thought was a living, I'm amazed at the price I chose to pay. And to think that I ignored what really mattered, 'cause I thought the sacrifice would be too great. When I finally reached the point of giving in, I found the cross was calling even then. And even though it took dying to survive, I never felt so much alive. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. Not I, but Christ who lives within me. His cross will never ask for more than I can give. For it's not my strength, daily dying, I will bow beneath the weight of Calvary. Let my hands surrender to his piercing purpose that holds me to the cross, yet sets me free. I will glory in the power of cross. The things I thought were gain,
Well, I'm looking forward to that Easter Sunday 2.0 that we have here in this room when the choir is actually up here and singing that song among many others. And a quick shout out to the Jesus Painter, the video that we used this morning. If you're interested in that sort of art, you can find him online and on YouTube, on Vimeo, lots of different places. So check that out. Well, today, Resurrection Sunday, right? Here we are celebrating Easter in a socially distanced way that is still strange for all of us, but we are doing it together. Today we're going to look at a message called Famous First Words. We're probably familiar with the phrase famous last words. Well, today we're going to look at some of the first words of Jesus, the first words that he spoke to his followers as they learned about his resurrection firsthand from him. There are three instances of this resurrected Christ appearing to his followers. In John chapter 20, we're going to be using those this morning and asking the question, how do these examples teach us about how Jesus still wants to reveal himself to us today? And we're going to start with the fact that Jesus reveals himself to the heartbroken in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verses 11 through 16. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said. "I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni." Now, for context, Mary had been the first visitor to the empty tomb, which is a unique part of the Jesus story, that in that day, a woman would be the first one to witness evidence of the resurrection and become the first preacher of the gospel. But she runs back and tells the disciples, and Peter and John join her. Now they have returned to this empty grave. We read in verse 8 of John 20 that John saw and believed in the empty tomb. We can assume Peter probably did the same. But Mary, it seems, was not yet ready to believe. They returned back to the place where they were staying. Mary stayed at the tomb, grieving. Mary was overcome with the grief of a broken heart, so she stayed near that tomb. It's sort of the same reason today where if you've ever been part of a funeral, sometimes there is a member of the family, maybe several, that feel they want to linger by the graveside for a moment longer. They're still processing the grief, and Mary is still trying to understand what has happened to her Lord, her teacher, her rabbi, her friend. We read that she is crying and weeping. The Greek word for that is really, really strong. It's this idea of wailing. In Jewish culture, they took grief seriously, to the point that for the first 7 days of mourning, you could not, as a mourner, work, wash, or even study the law in their culture. Because in their culture, you did not repress your grief, but you expressed your grief. And that's what Mary's doing. She's crying and weeping, evidence of her broken heart. She's so overcome with grief, in fact, that she sees two angels in this empty tomb, and she is not overwhelmed with fear. If you know anything about the other instances in Scripture where people see angels or are in the presence of angels, the angels almost always have to say, "Don't be afraid." But Mary, I think, so overcome with grief and lament and heartbrokenness, she is so numb that she isn't even able to respond in fear to these two angels in the tomb. Her answer to the question from the angels reveals a heart that just doesn't know where to go. Where should I go? Jesus, though, is present with Mary in her grief, even if she doesn't recognize he is there. I love that part of the story, and it's a great picture today, an answer to the question we might ask, "God, where are you when my heart is broken? Where are you in the midst of the pain in life that hurts deeply, that doesn't make any sense, that paralyzes my very next step?" And from the story, we glean that even if you don't realize God is present with you in those times, you can trust that he is. Now, when Mary sees Jesus, she mistakes him for the gardener, we're told. And this is a beautiful theological picture that John sort of sneaks into the gospel. We talked, I think, last week about how John gave us the idea of Jesus being thirsty and tied it back to the woman at the well. John does this in so many places. This is another instance where he says, well, she thought he was the gardener. I don't have time to unpack it today, but the idea of Jesus being a gardener, he is. It's taking us back to Genesis. In that garden, Jesus is the gardener who makes right all the things that have gone wrong. He is the true gardener. But she mistakes him for a gardener, and funnily enough, gardeners in that day were near the bottom of the social scale. So Jesus is recognized as kind of like one of the least of these, which I think he'd be perfectly okay with because he identified with them all the time. But she communicates to Jesus her sense of lostness. Just tell me where to go. Where have you laid him? I will go there. Then Jesus speaks her name, just her name, Mary, reassuring her that she doesn't need to go anywhere, that she is at home right there with him. And when he speaks her name, it's sort of like her eyes are opened, and she uses the word Rabboni. It's a form of the word rabbi for teacher, but it's a really personal form. She's not just his teacher. She's close. They are close. She is receiving back from the grave not only her teacher, but also her friend. George Fox would say that Jesus Christ can speak to each one of our conditions. I think this is a beautiful picture of that, that individually Jesus speaks to Mary's condition, to her brokenheartedness. And I believe Jesus still wants to do that today, to speak individually to each one of our hearts, to meet us wherever we are. So is your heart broken today? Jesus speaks to the brokenhearted with tenderness and compassion. And you may not sense the presence of Christ in the middle of your brokenheartedness, but I promise you that God is present there. So now we move from, this is actually the only individual resurrection revelation of Jesus. I was reading through all of the resurrection appearances, and I found something quite interesting. This is the only one that's to an individual person, which is important. God, through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, speaks to us as individuals, but every single one of the other appearances is to a group of people. I think one of the things that teaches us is the tremendous value of Christian community, of being together. Jesus chooses, in the testimony we have of Scripture, more often than not, to reveal himself in the midst of his people as they are gathered together. And we pick that up in John chapter 20, a little bit later, verses 19 through 22. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together and the doors were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." If Mary is an excellent portrait of Jesus being present with an individual in the middle of heartbreak, this story shows us Jesus is present with this group of people in the midst of their fear. And you may wonder, why are these disciples afraid? What do they have to be afraid of? Well, think about this. They have heard about the tomb being empty. Maybe even seen it for themselves. They've listened to Mary's account of Jesus being resurrected, but none of them have yet experienced themselves the resurrected Christ. Experience is often a pathway to belief for us. So the disciples are certainly afraid, and it says in here, because of the authorities. Listen, if those Jewish authorities could conspire with the Roman authorities to take down a tremendously popular rabbi with a lot of public support behind him, it's not too much to think that they could very easily do the same thing with these no-name fishermen and tax collectors. Jesus, though, walks in, even though the doors are locked, which I love that element of his resurrection appearance here. Jesus walks in, and his first words to them are what? "Peace be with you." And my friends, I don't know that there is a better message that I can give to you on Easter Sunday of 2020 in the midst of this global, crazy public health crisis than to just repeat those words of Jesus. "Peace be with you." Yes, the world is reeling from a pandemic. Yes, we're under stay-at-home orders, segregated from one another. Yes, our economy and our society are limping along as a result of all of this. But if Jesus came through the locked doors of that room to say, peace be with you, I want to tell you today, he can come into our present circumstances and speak to us, and we can receive his peace. Now, that offer of peace, it did not change much on the outside. The circumstances with those Jewish leaders and the people out to get the disciples, it stayed the same. If you don't believe me, read the book of Acts. You will see that they faced tremendous persecution. But even though it didn't change what happened outside that locked room, Jesus' words of peace tremendously transformed what was going on inside of those first followers. Again, read the book of Acts. Because in the middle of all that persecution, they were transformed people who took the gospel to the world around them. I do not know when this COVID-19 pandemic will end. I don't even know when it's going to begin to dissipate. I'll tell you, I just listened to Dr. Amy Acton. I just let her tell me what is coming next because she's been doing a phenomenal job. I don't know what the next big thing might be, because there'll be another big thing, but I want to tell you this. In the middle of the most challenging circumstances, Christ can transform us as he speaks his peace over us. And Jesus didn't just calm this group of scared disciples. He also empowered them and sent them out of the locked room, which I think is a tremendous point, sort of irony. He walks into the locked room, peace be with you, and then he basically says, yeah, you're going to need to go. I'm empowering you to leave this place. You've locked yourself in, but I am sending you out. And we're told that he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And look, John does it again here. This is another connection, a deeper connection, right? And how do we know this? Go back to Genesis. Once again, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. So mankind in Genesis was formed from the most humble and basic of substances, the dust of the earth, the dirt on the ground. But when God breathed into that dust, a body took form and shape, intended to reflect his character and care in the world. And maybe you're seeing where this is going, and I hope that you do. Because when Jesus breathed on this band of disciples, these first followers, this humble group of nobodies, but when he breathed into them, they received the Holy Spirit, and they became a body, the body of Christ in the world. Walking around, talking, declaring the goodness of the gospel. Are you afraid today? Is there something scaring you, heightening your sense of anxiety or fear? I want you to know that the peace of Christ is available to all of us. Your exterior circumstances may not change, but your heart can be transformed. And are you living in the presence of the Holy Spirit today, empowered to be sent out to be the body of Christ in the world? Now we're going to look at one more resurrection revelation in John chapter 20. But I want to invite a friend up, and that friend is Mr. Michael Barnes. So if you want to come up, I need to figure out which microphone to grab for you, because I didn't bring one to the table. So you just want to grab Andy's microphone from over there? So Michael's going to come up. I prepped him with a few questions, as I have done with some of the other people who have visited this table. And I want him to come up and talk, because I know that he is passionate about Christian community. It's one of the things that he's just grown to be tremendously fond of as far as a value for the church. So we're going to talk a little bit about the idea of how valuable community is. So first question that I prepped you with, are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay.
You look. I think.
Yeah, you look good, by the way.
Thanks.
You look real good. So here we go. This is not the only place in Scripture, John 20, where we see the value and importance of community being emphasized. So is there one or maybe two places in Scripture where you also think that this value comes like really sharply into focus?
Yeah, I do think community is actually emphasized all over Scripture. I mean, just thinking about, you know, the nature of the Bible, it is a communal book for a shared faith. There are many different authors and voices contributing to teach and to counsel and to love the people of God. But I guess there are two that stick out in my mind. You mentioned Genesis just a minute ago. And I think the opening pages of the Bible give us a unique glimpse of what community looks like. There we see God, the Trinity, in creation mode and eventually making two humans who would share in that fellowship. Mm. The phrasing is actually making them in our likeness. Mm. The Trinity is a perfect model of community. There is no hierarchy, and each person sustains and supports the others. So when God created humankind, we were invited to participate in that community. The first two humans were given an opportunity to share in that fellowship without any hindrance. We were created to connect. So it's no wonder that we thrive when we connect with others and with God, supporting and sustaining one another. And the other place I see, and you also mentioned the book of Acts, is in Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. There we find the believers of a very early church enacting these same principles. It says they committed to fellowship and they had everything in common. And I think they knew that the church's survival was dependent on their togetherness in the Spirit.
Amen.
They thrived on connection, and because of this commitment, their numbers and their spiritual depth grew daily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's a good word. All right, let's talk about maybe some other places we find the value of community. Have you read any authors particularly that helped you to deepen this appreciation and value you have for Christian community?
Yeah, several for sure. I think of people like Dallas Willard and Richard Foster, excuse me, who wrote extensively on the spiritual disciplines and how those are best practiced in communities. Mm-hmm. I think about many women thinkers like Roberta Bondi, Diana Butler Bass, and Mary Kate Morse, who I believe you had as a seminary professor.
Yeah, I did.
Had as well.
Yep.
Who was awesome. But one that really sticks out to me is a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he, if you don't know who he was a German theologian who wrote and taught in the midst of Nazi Germany in World War II. He would train pastors at underground seminaries who did not conform to the Nazi way of life. And they were under immense persecution because they were opposed to the state. And I think his life speaks more than his words do on the importance of community. He valued it so much that he risked his life to cultivate it. He was even martyred because of it. And he wrote a book called Life Together in 1939 that was informed by his time in teaching in those seminaries. And it truly is a wonderful, it's a very small book that honestly can be read in just a couple hours probably. But it really does detail the importance of the Christian faith lived together. And I think we can glean a lot from that and learning from his experience during his time in persecution.
Yeah, I mean, in a book like Life Together would be good enough to be a classic within Christianity,
right,
on its own. But when you consider the context that it was written in, it's
crazy.
Incredible. All right, one last question. Yep. You focus on discipleship here at First Friends. So talk a little bit about how important you feel community is for like this local body. Like, what would your dream look like for our church family as we grow towards fullness in Christ and in connection with one another?
So it's funny, when you sent me these questions, I was actually flipping through just some of my underlying quotes in Life Together, and I found this quote. It says, "The person who loves their dream of community will destroy community, but the person who loves those around them will create community." So I guess for me, my dream is that our church would value being together because we have a genuine and deep love for those who are around us. I think it's easy in our culture, which is highly individualistic and is consumer-based, for folks to simply attend church and to call it good. We walk in, we walk out, and I wonder if that's because we have neglected to recognize the love that can be shared between one another. I think when we start with ideas of community and try to create love out of that, it will fail. But if we start with love, community will be a natural river that flows from it. So my hope is that as people engage in our tables of discipleship, our inner, our common, our gathered, and our mission tables, that they would first do so with a mindset of love. Because like Paul said in 1 Corinthians, without love, it is nothing.
Yeah, amen. So. Yeah, I just to sort of bring it to a close, I've been thinking about that first Sunday when we're back in this room and everybody's together, and like the energy is going to be incredible. Yeah. There'll probably be more people than we typically have on a Sunday. I'm already, though, starting to fear. I don't know if that's the right word, but like, will we sustain that? Yeah. Or will we have it that one time and then once again take it for granted? So I don't know. I've just been praying, God, don't let us take it for granted when we get back together. Yeah. So
that's a great prayer.
Yeah. All right, man. You're dismissed. Cool. Thanks for coming.
Great.
Take your mug with you. So one more passage in John chapter 20, these stories of Jesus revealing himself to his disciples in his resurrected body, and it's from verses 24 to 29. Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus had come earlier. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again. Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said again, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." I have said it before and I will say it again. I kind of hate it that we call this guy Doubting Thomas, that is how he is known. how would you like it? How would you feel if your nickname, your permanent nickname, connected you to a temporary, if significant, mistake in judgment that you made as a young person, right? If that were true, then I might still be called today, can't navigate the maneuverability cones on the driver test Fowler. Because again, I failed it twice. But I eventually passed. And Thomas has this moment of doubt, but we call him Doubting Thomas, but it didn't stop there. I mean, yes, Thomas doubts. Thomas needs proof. Thomas needs evidence. Thomas needs to see for himself. I read in a commentary this week that wounds were sometimes shown as evidence in court back in this day. Their function is to identify that it's the same Jesus who had died. And by asking to see those wounds, by asking to witness that evidence, Thomas was not asking for anything more than those other disciples had already received. And I don't blame him for that one bit. When I hear about experiences that other people have with God, deep experiences with the Spirit of God, I want to have those same experiences. But Thomas is the dissenter in his doubt. He's the one who stands out from the rest. He's on the outside looking in with his insistence. I would actually say Thomas in this way is like the first Protestant. Like he's standing on the outside of everyone else. But in his doubt, we have to make sure we realize Thomas seems determined to believe that if an experience would merit him trusting, then he would indeed trust. I would put it this way. He refuses to doubt from a distance. His doubt draws him closer. Thomas, I say he's determined because of this. He was still with the other disciples in this story, and we're told it was a week later. A week later! He carried his doubt with him, but he would not let that doubt force him to abandon his connection to these others. And maybe even more importantly, what I think we see in this story is that these other disciples, the believers, those who had already been convinced, they did not drive Thomas away. They did not actively or passively push him away because of his doubt. They made room for Thomas to still be with them, even though he carried his doubt within him. Man, I hope, church, that we can be like that. That we can make room for those who are struggling with doubt, who are determined, who want to believe, who are open to it. Can we make room for them among us in order to nudge them closer to Jesus? Jesus does appear. He continues this theme. Because Thomas is not chastised for his doubt. He's not made to feel ashamed for his doubt. He's not told to go stand in the corner and think about what you've done by Jesus. No. Immediately, Jesus comes into the room, speaks, "Peace be with you," and then invites Thomas closer to him. Not making him retreat farther away, but invites him closer, saying, "Thomas, come here. See my wounds and touch them. Stop doubting and believe." And I think somewhat similarly to that, the woman who had the bleeding disorder in one of Jesus' miracle stories, she reached out and touched with just a little bit of faith was enough. And I think Thomas reaches out with a little bit of faith in the midst of his doubt. Maybe now feeling that he doesn't even belong here because he chose to doubt, but he reaches out and he touches Jesus. And I would argue that in a way, Jesus heals the doubt that Thomas was carrying at that moment. And so are you carrying doubt today? Does your sense of uncertainty make you feel ashamed? I want you to know you can bring your doubts to Jesus. You can bring your doubts to the church. You can bring your doubts to Jesus. Allow those doubts to drive you closer to Christ, just as Thomas did. So those are the three examples I wanted to look at this morning. One individual, two within the body of Christ. And I want to close with a few reflections, some things to think about as we process all of this, take it into our hearts and our minds and our souls and allow the Spirit to continue to teach us. Here's the first one. Is your heart broken today? Are you stuck in sadness? Christ is closer to you, even if you don't realize it. And I want to encourage you, don't stop seeking Him. Second, are you caught up in fear? Have you locked down part of yourself because you're afraid? I want to invite you in this time of reflective silence to come near to the peace of Christ and ask Him to transform you. And I want to say this too. We're talking about fear and anxiety and sadness. Sometimes we deal with mental health issues that focus on those things. And those are very real. I'm not saying for a minute that you can come to Jesus and then you can, if you need medication for depression or anxiety or something like that, I'm not trying to tell you that that is something you don't need. But what I do want to tell you that in the midst of whatever anxiety, fear, and that you go through, that you can come to Christ. Third, is doubt creeping into your mind? Allow it to drive you toward Jesus. If you know someone struggling with doubt, be intentional this week about connecting with that person. Reach out, be the body. And then lastly, how valuable is Christian community to you? Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a hunger to be connected to other disciples of Jesus. So let's take a moment to think about those, to prayerfully consider them in this moment of silence, and then I will pray to bring that time to a close. Father, today on this Resurrection Sunday, as we celebrate the newness and fullness of life that you offer to us, I pray that those of us today with broken hearts, those of us caught up in fear, those of us tripping on doubts, would be reminded that the resurrected Christ is for us, that you want to bring the new life that you brought out of that empty grave, and that you want to bestow that new life in its fullness from now into eternity. So God, draw us closer to you in this moment, on this day, and in the week ahead. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue to worship. Let's sing one last song together. Thank you.
It's a song that we've done before, but maybe it's been a while. It's called Death Was Arrested. Alone in my sorrow, alone in my sorrow, and dead in my sin, lost without hope, no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested, my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. His grace washed us, oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. Your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life begins with you. Release from my chains. I'm a prisoner no more. My shame has a ransom in faithfully bore. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. Thank you, Lord, you have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life begins with you. Our Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoices though heaven had lost. But then Jesus rose with our freedom in hand. Yes, Lord, that's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, if your grace so free washes over me, you have made me new. Now life begins with. Pouring down on us. Thank you, Lord, you have made us new. Now life begins with you. We're free, church. Oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever I'm in. When death was arrested, oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever we're free. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, when death was arrested, my life began. Oh, when death was arrested, my life began. Praise the Lord. We're free, church.
Amen. Well, today you can live in freedom, knowing that death has been arrested and that Jesus Christ has made each of us new as individuals, and that Jesus Christ has made us new as a community of saints, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as we continue to live in the kingdom of God together. Happy Easter again, but you know what? Let's do this again in the future sometime. But until then, wherever you are and wherever you're going next, go in God's grace.